I know there's some of you that are here because you've got friends here. I know some of you are here because you've got a spouse that just says you've got to be here because I'm not coming alone. And I'm here to tell you that if you will take what God is giving you today, you will become wiser and your life will be better. But if you sit and you listen and you mock what's going on, or you act like you know more than what God knows, you alone will suffer. I recently got this t-shirt. I wanted to go jogging, but Proverbs 28:1 says the wicked run when no one is chasing them. So there's that. For those of you who do not like to run, you have a t-shirt now, and you have scripture to go with it. Now, I'm going to tell you that is a misinterpretation. But you go with it if it makes you feel better about sitting around and being a couch potato. But here's the thing. Proverbs is a wonderful book. It's hard to understand because a lot of the verses are just little nitpicks of information, of wisdom, and you got to kind of pull it all together. But what we are going to study today, actually, chapter 9 is one of those chapters that kind of flows into it, and you can kind of understand it better. As I was preparing for this sermon, I was thinking to myself, I probably should have started with chapter 9, but that will be the next time I preach through this. But here's the thing. How many of y'all remember the TV show, The Price is Right? Just raise your hand if you remember The Price is Right. If you don't remember The Price is Right, that show has been on since 1963. In next year, it will be, how old? 60 years old. And so if you want to YouTube it, they've got YouTubes of The Price is Right. I believe it's still running. I don't know. But it's been around forever. And I remember as a kid, 8 or 9 years old, we would have to go over to a friend's house because they watched us in the summer. And one of the things that we got to watch was The Price is Right. And I remember getting excited because they had door number 1, and they had door number 2, and they had door number 3. And you wanted to pick the right door, because if you pick the right door, you got a car sometimes. And I thought that was all the money in the world when I was younger. Well, today you get to pick which door you're going to go through. You get to pick who you're going to follow. And this is so important. This lesson is so important today because what it does, it is the foundation of how we're going to live. Whether we're going to live in wisdom or whether we're going to live in the world. And one of the things that it talks about here, and it was read to you a moment ago, but look back at verses 1 through 6. Wisdom has built her house and has set it up on 7 pillars. If you don't know what that is all about, you've probably seen these mansions and they have these big pillars up in front. And what it's saying is wisdom has built a house. Wisdom has built a house. And it's 7 pillars. And any of you who know anything about building, you need even numbers, right? But the thing of it is in the Bible, when you hear the word 7, you know it's complete. This house that has been built is complete. And then it says, she has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has also set her table. Basically, it is going to be a ribeye and some red blend that you're going to have. Now, it's non-alcoholic wine, I'm sure. But if you know anything at all about wine, what they will do is they will mix wine, different wines that are different ages, and they will bring them together, and those wines will create a specific taste in that red blend. And there's actually a company that I heard about in California, and they would go and buy all the leftover wine from the different vineyards. And they would mix it together, and they became so popular and so famous from mixing these wines together that the vineyards would quit selling to them because they were taking their profits away from them. So she says he's going to mix her wines, and she has sent out her servants. She calls from the highest point in the city, "Let all who are simple come to my house." To those who have no sense, she says, come and eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you'll live. Walk in the way of insight. Now, I hate the idea here that I am being called simple. Let all who are simple come to my house. I was talking with somebody about this the other night, and I remember being a teenager and thinking I knew all there was to know. As a matter of fact, I saw a sign at Hungry Harry's Barbecue that I've always liked, and it says, teenagers, while you know everything, hurry up and move out of your parents' house before you forget that you're smarter than everybody else. And that was the way I was as a teenager. And then when I was in my 20s and Nancy and I were going to premarital counseling, I knew everything that the guy was going to tell us. And so I didn't listen. And boy, I wish I had now. And then when I was in my mid-20s, I thought, well, I was really dumb when I was 18, but I am so smart now. And then when I got to be 30, I realized how dumb I was in my 20s. And now I'm in my 60s, and I've finally have realized I don't know anything. And I identify with the simple now. Because every day there's something more to learn. There's more Bible that I can learn. There's more things that I can learn about how God wants me to live. And so when He calls you simple, don't be offended. The reality of it is we are all simple. So if you're going to listen to the call of wisdom says, number one, I will protect you and I will provide for you. I will protect you and I will provide for you. That's one of the things that I really miss about having my parents and them raising me, because when they were raising me, anytime I needed something, guess what? They had to provide it. Now I have to do it for myself. And then when I was living with my parents, they took care of everything. I didn't have to worry about insurance. I didn't have to worry about telephones and all that. They provided and they protected me. And so wisdom is saying here, if you want to be protected, if you want to be provided for, look to me. And number two, it says, I will satisfy you. I will satisfy you. Wisdom says, I will give you a satisfying life. There are these things that come out now, and I don't know what it's all about, but that will show you videos of things, and underneath it will say, this is so satisfying. And I'm like, watching a video is not satisfying while you pop bubbles. It's not. But wisdom says, I will satisfy you. And number three, I will give you a life of no regrets. I will give you a lifetime of no regrets. I'm thinking to myself as an older person now. I know I'm not as old as some of you. Thank goodness I haven't gotten there yet. Whoa. Some of you are younger than me and you're older than me. But here's the thing. I would love to be able to say I have a lifetime of no regrets. But I don't, because I have done things that are outside of God's will. And every time I've done things outside of God's will, I've regretted it. But I'm going to tell you one thing, is that I have no regrets every time I've followed God's word. There was a guy that really hit home with me. He was a friend of mine. He was struggling with alcohol. He went to a rehab center in Charlotte, North Carolina. And he and I stayed in contact. He knew I was a preacher. We tried to give him scripture. I actually taught him how to pray over the phone, because one of the things he had to do in rehab is he had to pray three times a day. So I taught him how to pray. He didn't even know how to pray. And he was praying. He was doing all this stuff. And he got out of rehab and he got a job. And he called me up and he says, Neil, I need to get my license back. And the only way to do it is for me to fly down and go to the bureau there and get my license reinstated so I can come back up here and get a North Carolina license. And I said, well, okay, what do you need me to do? He says, well, I want you to pick me up at the airport, take me to the driver's license place, and then I want you to take me back to the airport, because I'm going to try to do this all in one day. So I booked out my day, and I picked him up from the airport. We went to the driver's license plate. I stayed in the car. It was a beautiful day. Rolled the windows down. I had a book because I wanted to do something productive with my time while I was waiting on him, because I thought this was going to be a process. And within 10 minutes, he comes back to the car. And I said, "What happened?" He says, "I can't get my license today." And I said, "Well, what happened?" He says, "There is a question on the questionnaire. Have you been sober for 12 months? And I have only been sober for 10 months. And I said, because this is me, and those of you who've been here enough, you know me. Why didn't you lie?" And he looked at me and he said, "Neil, I've always been sorry for doing the wrong thing, but I've never been sorry for doing the right thing." And he had to fly back 2 months later. That is wisdom. That is integrity. And I am so thankful for that lesson that day, because I've watched this man who lost his family, lost his house, lost job after job, lost his relationship with his daughter because of his drinking, and he decided to do the right thing, and the house that he built, today he has a relationship with his ex-wife, he has a relationship with his daughter, he's remarried, he has gotten his life together, and he owns a house in the mountains and one in Charlotte, North Carolina, and financially he has been blessed. And I think it was because he decided that he was going to call on wisdom, and wisdom says, "Follow me, do what is right, and you will be protected, and you will be provided for, and you will have a satisfying life, and you will have a life of no regrets." But most of us are not listening to that call. I know that you're not, because look at what he says next. Solomon, when he was writing this to his son, he knew his audience. It's the same audience that's here today. There are going to be some people in this audience that are not going to like what I have to say, or they're not going to like the way I say it. They're not going to think that this applies to them. This happens every time I preach. And I know it happens. I know that there are people that need to hear the words that I'm preaching, because God has given me these words. God has put these words in your Bible. And you come here and you won't listen. And I used to get so frustrated with that. But look at what Solomon says in his wisdom. He says, "Whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers, or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning." Some of you here today, you will not hear what I'm saying, because you don't think you're simple. You don't think you need this. You may even come here today to satisfy somebody else. I know I came to church as a child because my parents wouldn't let me live in their house unless I did. It was the last place I wanted to be. And I know, as a young man getting ready to get married, I didn't want to hear what the preacher had to say about marriage and my responsibility, because I knew it all already. So I'm not condemning you for being a mocker. I'm not condemning you for not listening, but I am going to tell you this. The verse says, "Rebuke the wise and they will love you. Instruct the wise and they will be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they will add to their learning." And that is where I am today. And that is where I want you to be. He goes on to say, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Through wisdom your days will be many, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, your wisdom will reward you, and if you are a mocker, you alone will suffer." I know there's some of you that are here because you've got friends here. I know some of you are here because you've got a spouse that just says, you've got to be here because I'm not coming alone. And I'm here to tell you that if you will take what God is giving you today, you will become wiser and your life will be better. But if you sit and you listen and you mock what's going on, or you act like you know more than what God knows, you alone will suffer. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I talked about this Wednesday night, but I want to talk about it again because we've lost the fear of God. This country has lost the fear of God. The closest I have seen the fear of God in my lifetime is at 9/11. And that's the closest because people were so unnerved by what happened in 9/11, and they should have been. But I remember people calling the church building asking me if this was the end of times. People that didn't go to church. And I would ask them when we started the conversation, where do you go to church? Well, I don't go, but I have heard about the end times. Is this the end times? And I would always say, yes, it is the end times because God's coming. We just don't know when. And we got to be ready. And a lot of these people had a fear of God because they knew God was going to come one day and they thought it was going to be imminent and they wanted to get their life right with God. But I'm going to tell you, it was 2 weeks later, these people left having anything to do with me or the church. There was no fear. And I think for a lot of us, we're living our lives day in and day out. We're looking at life and saying it's going to be the same and we're going to be all right. But the reality of it is one day you are going to sit before the judgment of God and you're going to have to answer for whether you followed wisdom or you followed the world. And that's where Solomon leaves us. And then he tells us about those of us who follow the world. He says, folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way, let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. It sounds almost the same, doesn't it? That folly is calling out just like wisdom is calling out. And they're offering some of the same thing. They're offering something to drink and they're offering something to eat. And what she says here, come to my house because I've got stolen water. I don't know about you, but I wanted to do a taste test today. But I had to steal water to do it. And I couldn't do that because that's not right. But I was thinking, if I went to Publix and I got one bottle of water and I brought it out, and I put it up here, and then I got two bottles of water that I'd paid for, and I put them up here, and I would have John Shackelford come up here. Because John Shackelford, I mean, he knows what stolen water tastes like. I'm sure he does. He has to. But John would open each one of those bottles and he would drink that first one. He said, no, this just tastes like regular water. And then he'd open up the second bottle. He said, well, that's regular water. That third bottle, he'd, oh, this is the good stuff. I know there are some water snobs in here. You people that think, oh, my water is better. I grew up in the Carolinas. They had the sweetest water there ever was. Come down here, you drink the stuff down here, and you go, ugh. And some of you are such water snobs, you will only buy certain brands of water. Folks, it's water. And why is all this about stolen water? What about food eaten in secret? Now, I'm going to tell you, I understand food eaten in secret because Nancy is really trying to keep me slim and trim. She doesn't want to be married to a fat man. And from time to time, I will deviate from my diet. And I'll go to Krispy Kreme by myself. And when I drive by Krispy Kreme and that hot donut sign is on, they have a three-pack. And I will indulge. So I know about that food eating in secret. I know how it tastes. And stolen water, that didn't make sense to me. Until, and write this in your notes, I went to Proverbs chapter 5. And Proverbs chapter 5 has to do with adultery and being with the woman you're married with and no one else. So folly is not talking about just stolen water. It's talking about your own cisterns. And you can go down to verse 15 and it goes, I think, through verse 20. And you can look it up, and you got to do that on your own time because I got too much to say today. But write those down and go back and look at it. And this proverb will make a lot more sense like it made to those that were reading it at the time that it was written. But if you look at that, you will see that folly has its problems. And then when you're eating there, and let's just say you have ribeye with wisdom and you have hot dogs with folly. And you're eating your hot dog and the guy sitting next to you is just staring off into space, and you nudge him to get him to pass you the mustard because that's the only way you can eat that hot dog. And as you nudge him, his head falls off into his plate because you're eating with dead people. It's a movie that came out several years ago, and I loved the movie because it was so suspenseful. It's called The Sixth Sense. And if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. But there was a little boy, and he would go around and he would say, "I see dead people." And I'm going to tell you, because of my line of work, because of my interaction with God on a daily basis, I see dead people. And they're living their life in such a way that there is no hope for them. And they are doing things that are destructive to their bodies. They are doing things that are destructive to their mental health. They are doing things that are destructive to their soul. And all I can do is try to show them there's a better way. But folly keeps crying out to them, and folly keeps telling them, this is the way you should live. This is the way you should feel. And if you follow that folly, number one, it tells you it won't hurt to deviate a little. She sits at the door of her house on the seat of the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. She is watching people that are going the right path, they're going the right way, and she says to them, come here, it won't hurt to deviate just a little. And I know in my walk with God, I know what's right and I know what God commands, but I think from time to time I can deviate a little. And Solomon's saying, that's not wise, that's folly. The second thing that we are being enticed with from folly or from the world is you don't have to think it through. All you need to do is what feels good right now. What's right for me right at this moment. It's been going on since I was a kid. I've watched it over the decades throughout history where people have done things that have felt good at the time but caused catastrophe for their life. And folly says you don't need to think it through. You don't need to think about who you're hanging out with. You don't really need to think about cheating on your taxes a little bit because it's really not a big deal. You don't need to think about telling the lies that you tell. If you think it through, it doesn't really matter, so don't think it through. And the one that I have seen over and over is YOLO. And for those of you who are not hip and cool like me, that means you only live once. And you should get all the satisfaction out of this life you can. That's what folly says. Folly says you only live once. Try to experience everything you can experience in this lifetime, and that way you can enjoy this life. But wisdom says that's not the right route. I'll never forget this young man. His father and I were friends, and his father sent him to me because he was 16 and he had decided that he was going to go out with his friends and he was going to get drunk. And his father didn't even have a clue what to say. Not that I did, but I guess he thought I did. And at the time, I thought I was real smart. So I said, yeah, bring him over. I'll talk to him. And kid came to me and he started talking to me and telling me what had happened and all. And I said, look, why did you do that? Why? I mean, you told me that you wanted to preach. You told me that you were a Christian. He said, but Neil, I want to be able to experience everything so that when I preach about it, I'll have a knowledge of what there's going on. And I said, so when are you going to try the gay lifestyle? He didn't have an answer. But he had bought into this thing that you only live once and you need to experience everything. You need to feel everything you can feel. You need to have everything you can have. And if you don't, you're missing out on the best life ever. But wisdom says, follow God and you'll have the best life ever with no regrets. But the world calls out to us constantly, and teens, you are getting it by the handful every day. If you will do this, or if you have this, then you will have what you need for a good life. The call of wisdom versus the call of the world. The one is a personal invitation. A personal invitation from God for you to live the right kind of life. The other one's a public broadcast for everybody. One is saying, I know you, I know what the plans I have for you. And the other one says, come over here for a little while. Fall in line with the rest of the world. Do what everybody else is doing. One is strategic. It takes discipline. And the other one is undisciplined. One is intentional. They have a life of intention. They are intentional in the way they walk, in the things they do every day. They make a decision every morning to get up and do what is right or to improve themselves so that they can follow God better. The other is reckless. And those are the ones that say, I have my own truth. I'm not going to follow God's truth. One satisfies, wisdom satisfies, the other one gratifies. And we gratify the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we live this life trying to satisfy or to gratify all of those things, and we never find satisfaction. We're just like Mick Jagger. I can't get no satisfaction. And then one is eternal. We're living our life for heaven. This world is not my home. And the other is temporal. And we're getting all we can while we can in hopes that one day it'll be okay. And one is of the Spirit of God and one is of flesh. And I left two blanks because I want you to remember these. One is life and one is death. Choose wisdom, you choose life. Not only life here on this earth, but eternal life. You choose folly or you choose the world and you're bringing yourself to death. On the very last page, there is a path of wisdom. And I think that we all need to find that path and we need to walk on that path. And I've got two scriptures here that I want you to see. Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him and He will make your path straight. That means there's times that you're not going to know what you need to do. There's times you're not going to know which turn to take. But if you will follow God, He will make your path straight. He will help you with the decisions that are coming on. If you trust in the Lord with all of your heart and you don't lean on your own understanding, in other words, remember you are simple in the eyes of God. We all want to think that we're intelligent. We all want to think that we know what's best. But the reality of it is, God says, I know what is best. And then Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. For teenagers, you need to look at that. You need to underline that. You need to realize that there are people that are making good decisions, there are people making poor decisions, and who you hang out with is who you're going to become. I tell people quite often, if you really want to change your life, you need to change your friends. And if you're hanging out with the wrong crowd, and you may be thinking, parents, my kids are hanging out with the wrong crowds, but it's okay, my kids are not like that, boy, you're in for a rude awakening. And if you're hanging with wise kids, you're hanging out with good kids, you're going to have that kind of upbringing. You're going to have that kind of influence in your life. And we put together these small groups, and we're going to be starting those back up soon. And we have these small groups, we call them life groups, and we put those life groups together so that the wise can walk with the wise. There's not a day that I go through that I'm not with a brother or sister in Christ and I learn something new about my walk with God through their walk with God. And there's not a time in my life that I have been around Christians. We had a great get-together last night here, and I was with the 30 below crowd that came together, and we had a meal together, and I had a blast. But not only did I have a blast, but I have relationships now with some of those people that I didn't have before. And some of those relationships have gotten stronger and deeper because the wise were with the wise. And it wasn't a companion of fools. You see, I've walked with the companion of fools. I've been one of those. And I'm done with that. Your path of wisdom starts with our decisions. It's the decision you make today. Some people are going to make the decision to walk out of here and not be transformed at all. You may walk out of here and you think, well, I've heard all this before, but I'm happy with my life. Your decision is either on the path of wisdom or on the path of the world. The second thing is our actions, the actions we take today, whether they be for loving God more and knowing Him better, or whether they're being for my life and my gratification. You see, there's lots of times when I reach out to people. I don't want to reach out to people. I'm tired of people from time to time. And there are days when I wake up, and you better be glad that I am not the judge of this congregation. Because there are days when I wake up and I'm in a foul mood. And most of you wouldn't make it to heaven. I'm just saying. And then there are other days when I wake up and I feel good about life. I feel good about me. And I love all of you, and all of you would be in heaven with me. And that's most of the time. But I'm going to say to you that there are days when I don't want to talk to anybody, but my actions speak louder than my words, and I take actions to love people who are unlovable. I take actions to help people who need help, even when I don't feel like it. You see, all of us in here can act our way into feeling, but none of us can feel our way into acting. So you have to have actions. And number, or letter C, is our companions. Our companions. And you need to write this next to it. Friends are like elevators. They will either bring you up or bring you down. Make sure you choose the right elevator to get on. Finally, I want to leave you with this because this is so important. This is a scripture that I believe, because of all the grace and love that is being taught, all of the things that are going on in the world today, in Christendom today, and I believe in God's grace, and I believe in God's mercy, and I believe in God's love, but there is another side of that, and I think that fear of the God should be a part of that. Just like when I was growing up, I feared my father. I had a good father. I just got back from visiting with him. We had a great time. People have asked about that. I had a great time seeing my parents. It was a quick trip. Drove up there, spent a day with them, and then turned around and came back. But I had to see them. I hadn't seen them in 3 years. And I found a moment where I could go and see them. And I seized the moment. But man, I'm still tired from all that driving. But I had a good father and a good mother. But one of the things that I hated to hear from my mother's voice, I knew my father loved me. I knew my father cared about me. I knew my father's love for me was never ending, but I hated to hear my mother say, "Just wait until your dad gets home." Some of you are giggling nervously because you remember what that was like. For those of you who don't get that, this is something I saw while I was driving a lot, is every time a state trooper or a policeman comes by, everybody slows down to 5 miles under the speed limit. And that's because you fear the authority, amen? And I'm not fearful. My insurance is paid, my registration is good. Everything's fine. Last time I checked, everything was working on the vehicle. And I got going down the road, and there was a state trooper, and everybody's slowing down. It's 60 miles an hour, and they're all doing 55. And I started doing 60, and everybody's looking at me like, "Don't you see?" Now, if I'd been doing 70, I'm going to tell you what I would have feared. I would have had fear of being pulled over. But this last verse, this is the most important verse, because when we're living this life, we need to understand this verse. "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Don't think because you're here in this building today that you are following God. Don't think that just because you show up on Sunday morning that you're doing what God wants you to do. But what we should do every single day, and not just Sunday, is we should look into God's Word and say, "Am I following the path that God has laid out for me?" And it's not that you get it right all the time, but when you come in and you hear God's Word and there's something in God's Word that you know you need to change, you work on changing it. And it's not that you're going to be perfect at any point in your life. As a matter of fact, the best Christians are the most humble Christians, the ones that know that there's still a work in progress. And if there's something in God's Word that upsets you, that you disagree with it, you need to pay special attention to it, because it's God's Word that will keep you on that path, that will keep you on the road to salvation. Each Lord's Day, we sing an invitation song, and we do not sing this invitation song to embarrass anybody or to call anybody out. We sing this invitation song to encourage one another, to help each other become the people that God wants us to be, to help each other become passionate followers of Jesus Christ. And this invitation song is a way for us to encourage one another. Reflect on your life. See what it is that God wants from you. And don't leave here today the same person you were when you came in, but leave with the determination that you are going to live for God, and that you're going to show Christ in your life through His Spirit. The invitation is yours as we stand and sing.